And swing those hips.
Oh.
And swing those hips.
Oh.
Since Mark Spellthorne's disappearance, production for Winnie had gone into a tailspin, as had Morris, who saw his investment heading down the Swanee.
And swing those hips.
Oh!
It was the latest disaster to beset the ill-fated musical, and without our Clement Attlee, we were in limbo while the production team held the show business equivalent of an emergency Cobra meeting.
And swing those hips.
Oh! Ow! Oh!
I was hoping for a little me time, but Francis seized the opportunity to dragoon me through my ballroom paces.
Swing those hips.
Oh, can we stop?
Again?
You said it'd be fun.
This is fun.
Fun was a slow dance to Smokey Robinson followed by a mutually awkward fumble in a room where the coats were kept. Dancing used to have a purpose, the purpose being sex. This is like a military drill, only more painful.
No pain, no gain.
Well, how about no pain, no pain.
If this was Strictly, we'd be hard at it from dawn till dusk.
Now, that's a purpose. A behind-the-scenes fling is part of the Strictly experience.
We're not behind the scenes on Strictly. We're in my sitting room.
With you barking orders at me for a pensioner's dance competition you finagled me into.
Strictly Seniors is not a pensioner's dance class, and I did not finagle you into anything.
Well,
you promised to partner me. Don't you want to be match fit when you get the Strictly call?
I wouldn't do Strictly if they got down and begged on their replacement knees.
Rubbish.
Anyway, unlike Chris, I will never get the Strictly call.
Chris what got the call?
Stand-ups get the call for everything. Strictly, Newsnight, Question Time.
Before you turn completely green, let's cha-cha-cha.
Hi, Mo, what's the news?
Not good, I'm afraid.
They're pulling the show.
No. Mark's dead.
What? How? When? Where?
Not on the phone. Meet me somewhere discreet where we won't be overheard.
This is your idea of discreet. Horse Guards Parade. You've watched too many 60s spy films.
Doesn't it make you feel proud to be British?
It makes me feel like I've been taken out for the day by a kindly, if slightly nationalistic, uncle.
Pomp always makes my chest swell.
That's angina.
I always fancy myself as Nigel Green in the Ipcress Fund.
Does that make me Harry Palmer?
You're the bloke who gets bumped off and dumped on a pile of sacks just before the opening credits. Small part, but memorable.
Don't put yourself down.
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
Do you think?
Walk with me.
Failing to persuade Morris to buy me lunch at his club, we strolled round the lake in St. James's Park.
Drowned?
They found him washed up near the National Theatre. Please don't make a joke.
Morris.
The police are calling it death by misadventure.
He was nearly killed when the set fell on him, and now this. I mean, do they know about the accident surrounding our show?
This is different. He left a note.
Oh, poor Mark. I feel awful.
It's not your fault. Well, please tell me it's not.
I knew he was low, but not that low. I should have guessed after that vegan lunch. It was pretty intense. I put his mood down to the teleseries being axed. That, or the kale and bean salad.
Kale is one of the more dispiriting brassicas, but I don't think it drives people to take their own lives.
Maybe I should have told Nina.
About the kale and bean salad?
About Mark's depression.
She's a director, not a therapist.
You didn't see Mark's face when Chris told him the Willoughby had been pulled, and to rub salt in the wound, he told him in front of the entire cast.
Bad form.
Sadistic, but that's Chris. Bullies need an audience to scare off anyone else who might cross them. He pulled the same stunt on that young actress, Abby, humiliated in front of a whole company.
What for?
Because he could. Power games. Kay told me Chris ran off the rails when he was a child actor, but if you ask me, he's still messed up. Bet you're glad you cast him as Winnie.
I only invested in the show. I mean, obviously, with my agent's hat on, the producers ran a few headliners past
me. Well, this headliner shouts down anyone who disagrees with him and uses therapy speak to excuse his behaviour. You know, he asked Kay Walbrook to let him know when he oversteps the mark. And when she did, she was struck down with a mysterious food poisoning.
You're not suggesting Chris poisoned her?
Well.
Why sabotage his own show?
I don't know. But after Kay rushed off, I had a snoop around a dressing room and found a bottle of gin which had been doctored.
Poisoned?
Split the difference and say spiked with liquid paraffin. What does that tell you?
Someone wanted to use Kay as a storm lantern?
Please. Liquid paraffin is an effective laxative.
I don't understand.
Well, it loosens the...
I understand what a laxative is, but why would Chris or anyone spike Kay's gin?
A warning shot across the bowels?
Ugh.
Ah, it's mine. Nina. Early start tomorrow, rehearsal day. Evening run for producers and backers. Did you know?
It's just to reassure the investors everything's on target after all the disruption.
So you'll be there?
Of course. Won't you?
Very funny. Could Francis be your plus one?
Sorry, invitees only.
I'll have to sneak her in backstage.
What for?
Just see what else you can dig up on Chris.
You mean like a motive for sabotaging his own show?
I was still clutching at straws. What I needed was someone to clutch with me.
I've got a prior arrangement tomorrow night.
What arrangement?
Something else on my big birthday bucket list.
What?
Mind your own business.
A date.
I refer you to my previous answer.
It's a date with Jesus, the dance teacher.
Even if Jesus was 25 years closer in age to me, I still wouldn't be his choice for a date.
Your dance teacher's 25 years older than you.
Why do you need me at the theatre?
We're doing a run, and while everyone's on stage, I want you in my dressing room.
I understand men of your age like to fantasise. It's the last gasp of a fading libido.
Actually, I want you to do a bit of snooping, but I understand women of your age with big birthdays and last gasp bucket lists might not be up to the adrenaline rush.
Bring it on.
What about your prior arrangement?
I'll phone and postpone. I've never really fancied a threesome.
That was a joke, right?
Practice your rumba.
Did you say cancel or postpone?
I set myself an early alarm. After the vortex of chaos surrounding the show, it was not a day to stroll in late, so I eschewed Francis's offer of cholesterol-lowering moringa tea and porridge with marquee berries in favour of...
There you go, babes. Bacon and double egg back with the triple shot Americano.
Got any sauce?
Brown, red or yellow mustard.
I like a water-bathed halibut ballantine with a yuzu jelly as much as the next pretentious git, but you've got to love an establishment with colour-coded condiments.
Morning, Charles.
Jed, hi. Take a seat.
I hurriedly moved the bag containing Kay's contaminated gin so the stage manager could sit down.
You've heard about Mark.
Shocking.
I know.
Poor guy.
Terrible.
Was there a partner, kids?
No, married to the job. But when the job goes wrong...
Yeah, I know he'd lost his TV series, but he was still in work.
Today's going to be a long day.
Yeah, that's why I came in early, to stoke up.
Great minds. I always comfort eat before a show opens. Trouble is, I also comfort eat during and after.
Stage managers burn a lot of calories.
Not this many. Whenever I diet, I remember that quote, "Oh Lord, make me good, but not yet."
Yeah, St. Paul?
St. Augustine. Things we choristers dredge up.
I thought you were stage school.
Only after my voice broke. Rita Murray was more interested in my cherubic looks than my singing.
For 30 years, most urchins on British screens came courtesy of Rita Murray. But I was struggling to see the fresh-faced child beneath Jed's shaven head, tattooed face and curvy-sized sportswear.
I know what you're thinking, but life takes its toll, even on pretty boys.
My only pretty boy contemporary now looks like Dorian Gray's portrait on a bad skin day.
Did that give you a satisfying sense of revenge on your friend?
Well, I didn't want revenge. Well, maybe a little schadenfreude.
We've all got a bête noire in our lives.
Someone should teach young actors how to avoid jealousy.
And how to avoid workplace bullies.
Chris?
Well, he can yell at me till he's blue in the face. It's water off a duck's back. It's kids like Abby I feel sorry for.
I think Kay's keeping Chris in check.
Someone's got to. Time's up for his sort. Oh, there we go. Nina's first text of the day. We better get over there.
Beyond the stage door, we went our separate ways. Jed heading straight for the auditorium, while I paid a visit on Kay Walbrook.
Come in!
Ah, glad to see you've recovered.
Remind me never to eat a late-in-the-day salmon sandwich.
Is that what did it?
Must be. Oh, poor Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was upset about losing his series.
I think he must have been in a pretty bad place for a while, and losing the series was just the final straw.
I've never felt less like doing a show.
You know when Chris was yelling at Jed?
About his stupid foot spa.
You went to calm him down. What actually happened between you and him?
Well, as I approached his dressing room, he was giving Jed a hard time.
Did somebody not understand? Why ask what I want in my dressing room if you're not going to give me...
Go now, Jed.
I'll say when he...
Just go.
Right.
This isn't over.
Yes, it is.
What?
You asked me to let you know when you'd gone too far. This is me letting you know.
All right.
Not all right, Chris. Not all right at all. Let me give you a few home truths.
That was it?
You know when a toddler tantrum gets so bad they forget what it was they were supposed to be screaming about in the first place?
I wasn't a very hands-on father.
Oh, why am I not surprised? Anyway, Chris could have had me fired on the spot, but amazingly he thanked me and sat there like a punctured balloon mumbling psychobabble about not being in denial. What's in the bag?
What? Oh,
You look like a guilty schoolboy.
Oh, I sort of am.
Oh, come on, lad, spit it out.
Well, when you were off sick, I came in here and sort of burgled your dressing room.
What?
I was worried about the way you were taken ill and wanted to see if there were any clues in here. Anyway, this is your gin.
I thought you were a Scotchman.
Don't worry, it's all there. But if I were you, I wouldn't drink anymore.
Oh, don't get judgy.
The day you got ill, did you drink any of it?
Possibly.
When? Was it after you read the riot act to Chris?
Yes.
So before you got ill?
What's this all about? Why did you nick my gin?
To double check I was right.
About what?
Did you think it tasted all right?
It had a slightly unusual aftertaste, but it's one of these fancy artisanal gins a friend gave me, so I assumed it was just the botanicals.
It was liquid paraffin.
What?
Someone doctored the bottle.
Why would someone do that? More importantly, who would? Oh, you think it's Chris?
There have been too many accidents and injuries since rehearsal started.
He's as mad as a box of frogs, but why sabotage his own show?
You said yourself he's got issues.
Company to the stage, please. Company to the stage.
I don't like the idea of some deranged poisoner wandering around out there.
I'm still trying to work this up, but just be vigilant and don't drink any more of that gin.
Just when I could do with one.
History of the English-speaking peoples. On the shoulders of a siren-suited man should the brave, wise kinsmen of this nation entrust their future to a button-booted sham.
The rehearsal had been a stop-start affair, some bits playing well, others pretty shambolic. Par for the course, even at this late stage, Chris had introduced new business into the show, this time using trap doors. Tail-coated Winston dropped through one trap, only to reappear seconds later in a siren suit as he exploded upwards through the second trap.
It's all right, Nina. It
doesn't look all right.
Out of the way.
Don't push.
Look, weren't you listening when we went through this new stuff?
Yes, I just found myself standing in the wrong place.
Then you weren't listening.
Jed!
Oh, he's never there when you need him.
Coming.
Take your time, why don't you?
I was in the fly gallery.
Yeah, always got an excuse.
He's just doing his job like everyone else.
Who asked Jiminy Cricket?
Get a first aid box, Jed.
On it.
And someone put a mark down so Abby knows where not to stand. I won't do it again.
You sure you're okay?
Fine.
Chris, I think we may have to lose this new trapdoor stuff.
No.
It's overcomplicated.
Audiences want spectacle.
Two trapdoors, a quick change, and you've got to rush straight up top for your parachute descent with Charles.
Exactly. And get it right, they'll love it.
Get it wrong and someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, fuck.
I know you're thinking of the show, but so am I.
Can I make a suggestion?
Oh, God.
Please, Charles.
As we're up against it, how about we do the run-through without the trapdoor stuff, but allow some time to work it back in properly in time for the previews? That way we know where it goes and we've got time to work it in safely.
Go on, then.
Also, if Chris wants to walk me through my moves, I can stay behind after the show.
About to have another snipe at Abby, Chris caught a reproachful look from Kay, which brought him up short.
Yeah, good idea, Abby. I'll walk you through it after the show.
By lunchtime, I was in need of some unfresh air and a shot of liquid muesli. It wasn't Harry's bar, but the space between two industrial dustbins provided me with a cosy drinking nook. A man was loitering on the corner opposite. Chris burst out of the stage door, head down, baseball cap, shades, collar up. He nodded to the man, and the two marched away. Curiosity got the better of me, so I followed. The Montague Arms was a one-time Victorian roughhouse with high-backed booths for nefarious assignations. I gave them a couple of minutes, then entered.
One double scotch. Contactless?
Wonder what Hogarth would have made of the 21st century.
Sorry?
Drunk for a penny, dead drunk for tuppence, dead for contactless.
Sorry?
Don't worry about it. Chris and the big bloke had tucked themselves into a distant corner. I secured an adjacent booth with my back to the room and my ear to the partition.
I'm having a bit of a wobble.
Why do you think that is?
I've done a lot of things, some of them pretty bad.
Well, it goes with the territory.
I just don't know if I'm ready for this.
You can do anything you want.
The question you've got to ask yourself is, what do you want?
To be left alone.
Isn't that why you do stand-up?
No interference, no writer, no director, no actors.
So, what, you want to get rid of all the others?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, I think that is what I want.
Oh, not now.
Are you trying to get me killed?
Bad time.
You could say that.
I found out a bit more about Chris.
Me too. I think he's hired a hitman.
What?
Just give me the headlines.
Chris was precociously talented, ruthlessly ambitious, and part of a stage school brat pack, sex stimulant. A girl died of an overdose, and it all sort of fell apart. Most of them dropped off the map. Chris's career hit the skids, he hit the bottle, dark night of the soul, got married, wife pulled him through, tried stand-up, never looked back.
Thanks for coming out in a hurry.
That's what you pay me for.
I've got to go.
What's all this about a hitman?
I'll tell you later.
You might not have a later.
Cheers.
Chris headed back for the theatre. The big bloke continued north. I wasn't needed immediately after lunch, so I decided to see where he went. Following someone is a lot harder than it looks in films. When he turned into a narrow passage, it was follow or lose him. At the far end, I saw an enclosed mews, then...
Can I help you?
Oh, hi. Oh, yeah, I'm looking for...
You've been following me for 15 minutes. So, let me save you the effort of making up a story and you can tell me what you want.
Okay, before you do anything, you should know I'm in the cast of Winnie with
do
Chris
anything?
Watt, so if I don't arrive back at rehearsal...
Do what? What do you expect me to do?
Hurt me?
I'm a cognitive behavioural therapist. We'll leave violence to the Freudians.
You're not a hitman?
I think the residence committee would have something to say about it.
I may have misread the situation.
You've definitely misread the situation.
I heard you in the pub with Chris.
Do you make it a habit of eavesdropping on private conversations?
No, well, sometimes. I mean, if I think someone's up to no good.
And do you often think people are up to no good?
No, but forget me. Can I ask you what you and Chris were talking about?
You can ask, but don't expect me to answer. There is such a thing as patient confidentiality.
So Chris is your patient?
Wow. You're good.
One more thing. I know Chris has anger issues.
No comments.
Okay, but does that make him a danger to anyone?
I'm not going to tell you anything about what passes between us in private, but the only person Chris Watt is likely to hurt is himself.
If he's not dangerous, what am I doing
We've
here?
Only got the therapist's word for it that he's not dangerous.
Oh, well.
Something's been going on and we need to find out what.
Mr. Parris to the stage, please.
Oh, I've got
Mr.
to go.
Paris
but I'm on stage at the same time as Chris, so you've got a clear half hour to snoop around his dressing room.
What about his dresser?
He'll be in the wings for the quick changes. Wait a couple of minutes, go straight to the number one dressing room and I'll meet you back here when I come up.
What am I looking for?
Apart from a school matinee, the worst audience is one made up of world-weary producers and agents who sit there, arms crossed, stony-faced, daring you to entertain them.
Though he drinks Napoleon brandy and he smokes a fine cigar, his diplomacy is handy, from the workers to the middle and the la-di-da, from the workers to the middle and the la-di-da, and he's licking a bee at the Nazi scum. Black dog is snapping at my heels. Storm clouds where'er I turn. Jack boots marching across the newsreels as cities crumble and burn.
The parachute scene started well, but as I landed alongside Clement Attlee, we realized Winston was still dangling some 15 feet above our heads.
The wind of change is in your sail.
It took a moment before the audience realised something was wrong and a ripple of laughter went round the auditorium. Normally, Chris would break the fourth wall and improvise his way out of it, but all the audience could see was a pair of button boots dangling from above.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to interrupt the show.
Dressed as Vera Lynn, Abby walked downstage and looked straight out at the audience.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yes.
No one's ill. I just wondered what you think of the show, Doctor.
Chris won't like this.
The audience do.
Somebody get me down!
In the true wartime spirit, why don't we all have a sing-along? I'll start, and if you don't know the words, just make the sound of an air raid siren. Here we go. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some...
There you are.
Don't stop.
Where have you been?
Stuck on stage while Jed struggled to get Chris down from his parachute, and Abby saved the day with a Vera Lynn sing-along.
Sorry, I missed that.
You're really not, and I wouldn't be in Abby's shoes.
Why?
No one upstages Chris Watt. He's going to be furious.
Even more when he discovers I broke a bottle of aftershave in his dressing room.
Oh, Francis.
Don't, Francis.
How?
I was a bit nervous.
Oh, just tell me what happened.
I thought I heard someone coming. Spun round and knocked a bottle into the sink. I only just had time to hide under the bed.
He's got a bed?
This is not the time for dressing room envy. Anyway, it was someone from wardrobe returning laundry, but while I was under the bed, I found this.
The missing evidence?
No, a bottle of liquid paraffin.
In Chris Watt's dressing room?
I was a head teacher of a girls' school, not an international jewel thief. If I could get into his dressing room, anyone could, and anyone could have planted that bottle.
Yeah, but...
What a show!
Don't you knock.
Oh, dear. Agent Interruptus?
No.
A star is born.
Hear that, Charles?
He doesn't mean me.
Abby, so young and so fearless in front of such a venal audience. I'm going to take her, mould her, and shape her career.
Does she know?
Not yet. Where is she?
After show notes. Chris is walking her through the trapdoor business.
I've got great plans for her.
Any great plans for me?
There's a voiceover for the British Heart Foundation.
See what I put up with.
Anyone hungry?
I'm so excited about Abby. Dinner's on me, and you're tax deductible, so you can go a la carte.
Good. I'm starving.
I'll catch you up. Sometimes you just get a feeling something's not right. Chris's promise to walk Abby through the trapdoor sequence may be well meant, but I wanted to be on hand. Abby was already on stage as I quietly concealed myself behind the door of number 10 Downing Street. Not that I needed to be quiet. Eyes closed, headphones on, Abby was singing to a rehearsal track on her phone. Needless to say, Chris was late. The first noise came from above. Of course, Abby heard nothing. But I noticed falling dust. I was still peering up into the gloom when the second noise sent down another fine sprinkling. Third time unlucky. High above, a lighting bar shifted, jolted, and in what looked like slow motion, began to drop from its mooring.
Abby! Move! Now!
As my outstretched arms pushed her sideways, the stage beneath me gave way.
What the hell?
I've sprained my ankle.
Oh, get him onto the bed.
My bed? It's the closest dressing room. One, two, three. What happened?
He fell through one of the traps.
Jed, you idiot.
Not now, Chris.
Those traps should be safety locked. What if I'd fallen through it?
I did.
Yeah, but all due respect, I'm playing Winnie.
It's all about you, isn't it?
Oi.
You've got an ensuite shower.
I think he's in shock.
Is that a massage chair?
Shiatsu.
Why haven't I got a shiatsu chair?
Because you're not the star.
Hey, Charles just saved my life.
He fell through the trap.
Yes, trying to protect me while I was waiting for you to turn up.
Yeah, where were you, Chris?
I was in here having a foot spa.
Of course you were. Always in the right place when the bad stuff happens.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'll wait outside for the paramedics.
Yeah, that's it. Off you pop. Try not to have any more accidents.
Don't patronise her.
It's banter.
Were you alone?
What?
In here.
I was having a foot spa.
But were you alone?
What, can anyone testify to the fact that I was having a foot spa? Not that it's any of your business, but yes, I had a visit from my old stage school teacher.
Not Rita Murray, by any chance.
How do you know that?
I must have read it somewhere.
Yeah, she was trying to tap me for a donation. People I knew 1,000 years ago are always crawling out the woodwork when they need something.
You arrogant git. Rita did everything for you.
What do you know?
Not everyone forgets their past. Some of us remember the little people and the good people, like Rita and Georgina.
How do you know Georgie?
I didn't just know her. I loved her.
I was starting to see the cherubic boy beneath the time-ravaged skin.
Gareth?
No one's called me that in a long time.
What happened?
Life happened.
And then some.
More banter from the lovable Mockney stand-up who speaks his mind no matter who he hurts.
It was you, wasn't it? You're behind all these accidents.
No.
The delivery moped that ran down the actor.
Nothing to do with me.
The pianist who got shot in the drive-by.
Just another accident.
But it gave you an idea, didn't it?
Will somebody tell me what's going on?
Shut up, Chris.
Listen, mate.
I stopped being your mate the day you pulled Georgie down into the sewer and left her to die.
She knew her own mind. She knew exactly what she was doing.
No, she didn't. Once they're into that junk, no one knows what they're doing.
You waited all these years to take your revenge, and then a job came up and you saw your chance.
You mean this maniac's behind all the accidents?
I thought it was you.
Why would I jeopardise my own show?
That's what I wonder when my agent asked me to keep my eyes open.
You're an actor, not a detective.
Normally that's what he says, but he'd invested in the show and asked me to find out if someone was trying to sabotage it. What I couldn't work out is why hurt innocent people like Trevor Rhodes?
That was a mistake. Chris was supposed to be in that flying harness.
What? And the stage set that nearly killed Mark?
Yeah. That should have been Chris.
Oh. I can understand that you wanted Chris dead.
Thanks, Charles.
But what had Evie and Kay ever done to you? Unless, having failed to kill Chris, you decided to make it look like he was trying to injure anyone who crossed him.
Oh, I need a shiatsu. God, that's better.
Good. Everyone knew Chris was walking all over Evie Robb's script and that Kay Walbrook stood up to his baby tantrums.
I am still here.
So Evie ended up in hospital after a hit and run, and then you spiked Kay's gin and left the evidence in Chris's dressing room.
I'm turning this bad boy up to 11. Chris gets away with everything.
So when you knew he was going to walk Abby through the dangerous trapdoor scene, you used her as bait, knowing he'd step on a trap he thought was locked.
Talk about inept. Oh, I'm not being nasty, mate, but you couldn't cut it as an actor, and you're not much of an assassin. We'll see about that. Do you think I don't know a prop gun when I see it? Let's find out.
No! No!
Grab him! My foot spar!
My foot!
Well,
if you think you're going out dressed like that, young lady,
you could come with me.
My left ankle's twisted and I've got foot spar shrapnel in my right foot.
I thought I'd heard every kid's excuse for not handing in homework.
Pass the bottle, painkillers are wearing off.
Whiskey isn't a painkiller.
I'll be the judge of that.
You'd do anything to get out of Strictly Seniors.
Never mind that. I'm out of Winnie, my one chance at a musical.
There's a wheelchair ramp. You can still come along.
And watch you dance with Jesus. No, thanks. Go forth and enjoy your Paso Dobby.
Paso Doble. Dobby's a house elf.
Go. Enjoy. I'll be all right.
Use the time to compile your own bucket list.
I've got a bottle of scotch, a bag of nuts and a remote control. What more could I possibly want?
Right. My taxi's here.
Before you go, that menage a trois...
What about it?
It was a joke, wasn't it? I mean, only I'm fine from the knees up.
I'll be the judge of that. Enjoy your nuts.
Right. Let's see what's on.
And if you want more of Chris Watt, you can see him tonight on Mock the Week. And again on Newsnight, talking about Brexit.
Francis! Hold that taxi!
In episode 4 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Chris Watt was Nigel Lindsay, Jed, Ronnie Duty, Nina Lamb, Claire Corbett, Kay Walbrook, Carolyn Pickles, Abby, Sarah Ovens, Waitress, Frankie Webb, Barstaff, Joseph Eyre, and Man, Don Gillet. Music was written and performed by Neil Brand. Star Trap was written by Jeremy Front, and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Mary Peat, and the producer was Sally Avens. Teller of my love.